Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting, but it was also stupid.
This is Stuart Venner. I want to welcome you to this week's show. We've got a great lineup of guests in store for you. We're talking to Lou Sipo. Lou has started something called the Chemo Duck Program to help sick children that are suffering from cancer. And direct from the Schmidt House, we're speaking to Kara Schmid. She's an anti-aging and longevity expert. We're also talking to Stuart Feldman. He's an attorney, a brilliant man, talking about captive insurance and planning. We're finally speaking to Jeff Timmons. He is from 98 Degrees, and he now stars in The Men of the Strip. And finally, Jason Dowd is bringing us his Holly Weird Report. Please stay tuned. I know you're going to love it. I've got a really interesting guest online. We're speaking to Lou Sipos. Lou is the founder of Chemo Duck. Now, we hear a lot about ducks on television today, but Chemo Duck is something a little different. Welcome to the show, Lou.
Well, thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
Tell us, your company or what you've done is Gabe's Chemo Duck Program. Can you tell us just what that is?
Absolutely. We reach out and educate and comfort children who are in the midst of chemotherapy treatment by using therapeutic tools to help them understand their treatment. The predominant tool being our Chemo Duck, which is a little stuffed animal with a chemotherapy port, and he's dressed in hospital pajamas, and he has a little arm immobilizer so they can understand some of the treatments that are going to happen to them, and parents can explain to them using the duck what treatments they're likely to receive.
That's wonderful. You and I understand you've given away over 10,000 ducks.
Yes, I think it's closer to 20,000 at this point in time, which is kind of crazy. Yeah, we're really moving along, which is sad that he's so needed, but he really is. We receive requests every day, and we are in about close to 90 hospitals across the U.S.
Well, I'm really, this is something that's very close and dear to me. In fact, every year for the last 3 or 4 years, I sing, and not very well, at a fundraiser concert for kids, which is for pediatric cancer. So I know what serious thing this is. Now, how you got into this, I understand it was your son that actually had cancer?
That's correct. Gabe was close to one when he was diagnosed, and obviously we found that there was a real communication barrier. And I created Chemo Duck not knowing that I had created a tool to be able to talk to him, but that's what it turned out. I just wanted to create a buddy for him, somebody who, you know, he could take to the hospital and would be a regular and would be become part of our team, if you like. And I had no idea that I created something that was such a powerful tool that I could actually use and teach him with, and the doctors would do the same.
That is wonderful. And he was 1 year old, I understand, when he was diagnosed with cancer.
Yes, he was. So it was. He was at that point in time just learning to talk, and so obviously he was not able to comprehend in any other way.
Of course.
Why these changes had taken place.
What type of cancer did he have?
He had a muscle tumor called rhabdomyosarcoma, and it was in his sinus passage. So it was fairly aggressive and had to be treated quite aggressively immediately.
And I understand now he's cancer-free.
He is. He's now, at this point in time, he just started fifth grade, and he's extremely healthy. We, like most cancer survivors, he has lots of side effects, but as far as his health goes, he's fantastic.
That is really wonderful. And he's 10 years old now?
He's 11.
11?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think they say once you survive the first 5 years, you're pretty much over the hill.
You're considered cancer-free, yeah. They have a much higher risk. Anybody who's received cancer treatment has a much higher risk of secondary cancers. So obviously it's something that we watch. But as far as his primary cancer, he's considered completely cancer-free at this point.
That is really good news. Now, your duck program, is that entirely funded by donations?
It's funded by donations, and some of the hospitals are able to actually purchase the ducks. They purchase in bulk for the children within their hospitals. Predominantly, we are funded by grants and by personal donations. Yes.
Are you a nonprofit?
We are a nonprofit. Yes, we've been in business for 9 years now, and just going from strength to strength. Really, it's amazing. We actually just have this year, for the first time, we have exported in bulk to the UK, and that's a huge thing for myself because I was born in the United Kingdom. So we're glad to be expanding all the time and helping more children.
How are your teeth? Do you have the English teeth?
I've lived here long enough.
So you go to the dentist.
But no, my sister's actually a dental nurse, so she would be very hurt.
Now, how can people help support your program? Because I think it's really good. These kids need this.
We would love to have support. And they can visit us at chemoduck.org. It's not a .com, it's a .org. And there they can read all about the program. They can become involved in ways other than donating, but obviously donations really, really help. It costs $30 to provide the program to a child living with cancer, and that $30 goes directly to a child. We receive requests all the time, and you know that your donation is going directly to a child. It's not going into a huge organization where you don't know where exactly the money's going.
So this money that they donate is actually going pretty much all of it for these kids.
Yes, absolutely.
That's really important because, you know, so many of these charities, the charities are making all kinds of money and very little is actually going to help people. But
absolutely,
this is all going to help these kids that need these chemo ducks, which is going to help get them through this horrible experience.
It goes to either directly to ChemoDucks or to developing new products.
All right. Now, if everybody didn't get that, it's chemoduck.org, chemoduck.org. And
that's
we're speaking to Lou Sipo, and God bless you for everything you're doing, and really, thank God your child has recovered from this.
Well, thank you.
And at least you don't, it's not going for Lou's dentistry.
Absolutely not.
Lou, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I hope everybody out there is going to help support this fine organization.
Thank you very much.
You have a wonderful day.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years' experience, we have the proven solution to your problem. A way to dispose of that upside-down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to realtycrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's realtycrisis.com, realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying. We're here to help you. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend a presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Folks, welcome back to the show. I've got a really great guest on the line. We're speaking to Dr. Kira Schmid. Dr. Schmid is a life extension doctor, and we all want to live longer. Welcome to the show, Kira.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Now, you are an anti-aging and life extension doctor. Could you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Sure, yeah. I am actually a naturopathic doctor, and I work here at Life Extension. So as a naturopathic doctor, I tend to focus more on natural therapies and integrative medicine. And, of course, at Life Extension, we're really focused on three things, providing people with the best of mainstream medicine, novel and new treatments, and also natural therapies as well.
So you actually do use conventional medicine as well?
Correct. We do talk to our members and our listeners about really the best of mainstream medicine.
Well, that is very good. Have you had great success with your natural treatment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the main thing that we'd like to focus on is integrative medicine. So, you know, there are certain therapies that from a natural perspective that have good research behind them and are very effective, and of course those are the ones that we focus on.
Now, I know cancer, of course, is the big killer today, one of them. Do you think that your natural medicine can actually cure or arrest it?
Well, I think the biggest thing there is prevention, and, you know, natural therapies, and just talking about nutrition and lifestyle and all those sorts of things certainly do the best at preventing cancers. They can certainly also help from an adjunctive standpoint as well, support people that are going through cancer treatments also.
What do you think is the most, would you say is the most important thing that people should do in their nutrition or their lifestyle?
Well, that's hard to say. I guess first thing would be just focusing on a very clean diet, you know, lots of fruits and vegetables, organic produce if possible. That would probably be number one.
So that's everything I don't eat. So my fat back and my is not very good for me, I guess.
Yeah, if you could make small changes towards incorporating, you know, green leafy vegetables, that is over and over and over, it's shown that that is the best thing for health.
I imagine so. And to tell me, you're located where, in Fort Lauderdale?
Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
And how long should the person actually live? You talk about life extension. How long can we live?
Well, the human lifespan can be 120 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, we're always making advances towards that. Here at Life Extension, we really are an organization dedicated to finding new methods to enhance and expand the human, really I should say the healthy human lifespan. And you know, our foundation has actually funded $110 million towards research on anti-aging therapeutics over the last 10 years. So something we're really focused on, and something that is the focus of our new disease prevention and treatment book as well, if people are interested in that.
Yes, I did. In fact, I've been reading your book. It's really fascinating. It's a great book. Everyone should read this.
Great, thank you.
Can you tell folks out there how they can get hold of your book?
Sure. You can go to www.lef, and that stands for Life Extension Foundation, lef.org, and then /DPT, which stands for Disease Prevention and Treatment. Or they can call 888-224-8230.
Okay, I hope everybody got that. And tell me, what do you think about the human growth hormones? Are those any good? Do they work?
Well, life extension tends to focus more on other hormones, more the sex hormones, testosterone, estrogen, DHEA, pregnenolone. These we find are very effective if you maintain them at optimal levels for improving health. Growth hormone is a little bit more controversial.
Yes.
It certainly has been shown to help with weight loss in some circumstances. But we, again, like I said, we focus more on the sex hormones more so than growth hormones.
Did you say sex hormones?
Yeah, sex
hormones. I like that. I like sex.
Yeah, of course. Testosterone, estrogen, and some of the others I just mentioned.
That works for me. I have my own system of anti-aging. As I get older, I just keep marrying younger women. Now we've got about a 25-year difference, and if I keep going at this rate, I'll be marrying a teenager.
Whatever keeps you young, I guess, right?
I think I'll keep this one. A teenager would be too much trouble.
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, you've been fascinating. Can you tell everyone once how to get your book? Because it's really good. I've been reading it. I highly recommend it to everybody.
Yeah, you can get the fifth edition of our disease prevention and treatment book by going to lef.org/DPT or by calling 888-224-8230.
Kara, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And again, we're speaking to Dr. Kara Schmid. And I think this is important for everybody because we all want to stay young and we all don't want to die. So this is important information. Dr. Schmid, thank you again for coming on the show.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years' experience, we have the proven solution to your problem. A way to dispose of that upside-down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to realtycrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's realtycrisis.com, realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying. We're here to help you. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Folks, welcome back to the show. I've got two great guests on the phone. We're speaking to Stuart Feldman. Stuart is an attorney, and has the most impressive background, specializes in tax issues and real estate acquisitions and captive insurance planning. And we have Clee Thompson, who's Vice President of Marketing and Business Development for Capstone Associates. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Good day. How are you?
Great, thank you. Could you tell us a little bit about what you do? I know that you do tax-exempt entities, insurance for-profit for middle businesses. Is that right?
That's close. What we do is we form, organize, design, and operate property and casualty insurance companies for middle-market companies. So let's say that you're dealing with a company that has a manufacturing company, a distribution company, a fabrication company, an engineering company, a significant medical operation, whether it be a specialty hospital or a series of ambulatory surgery centers, or maybe a large physician's practice. But you're dealing with some type of operating business. That operating business usually has risks, a large number of risks that are not covered by the conventional insurance market. So what Capstone does, along with our law firm, is it identifies the uninsured risks, sees whether those risks are capable or feasible of being insured by a private insurance arrangement, and then putting that insurance arrangement in place. What it is a captive insurance company, and the way we design it is a for-profit, wholly or partially tax-exempt company in the United States. And I know that's a mouthful, but I'm glad to explain it a little bit more.
No, that's very interesting. Now, you actually form a separate insurance company for each business?
That's right. The insurance company is twinned with or is in support of this business, again, whether it be a multi or a large doctor's medical practice or a specialty hospital or a steel service center or some type of manufacturing operation.
Does the insurance company have to be in the state that the business is operating?
No, it does not, and usually it isn't. Usually you're dealing businesses that operate either on a multi-state basis or...
Okay.
The insurance company would be located in a state that facilitates or a jurisdiction that facilitates the formation of these private companies.
I've never heard of anything quite like that. Is anyone else doing anything like this? I mean, this is fascinating.
Yes, actually, it's been around for almost 100 years.
Really?
Yes. What happened back in the 19-teens, almost 100 years, almost 100 years ago, is the Congress facilitated the formation of these insurance companies for the Midwest farmers. If I can digress, I'd be glad to go into the history, if you'd like, of these insurance companies.
Sure, this is very interesting.
So imagine you were a farmer in Iowa or Montana, and you needed insurance. Again, put yourself back into a time period of, let's say, 1915.
Okay.
And you fill out an application and you send it into Hartford Boiler Insurance in Hartford, Connecticut. And you're filling out that application and it says, how many feet is your business establishment, your farm or your grain storage facility or your cotton gin, whatever it is, how far is it from the nearest fire hydrant in number of feet? And there you are in Iowa or Arkansas. Or Montana, and you scratch out number of feet and you put down 20 miles to the nearest fire hydrant. You could imagine that Hartford Boiler Insurance.
Sure, they'll never underwrite
in Hartford, that. Connecticut, didn't find that to be very appealing as a potential insured. Then they might ask on the application, in addition to how many feet to the nearest fire hydrant, they'd say how many people in your local fire department. Number of trucks, number of hook and ladders, number of paramedics and that, and the guy scratches that off and says, Rufus, who lives down the road, has a ladder. That's my fire department. So it was a problem of people in what would be called the grain states, the agricultural states, couldn't obtain insurance, whether it be fire insurance for the crop or for their barn or for the grain storage facility. So Congress stepped in and said, we're going to encourage cooperative insurance arrangements. And they did, with a series of tax provisions that were passed back in the 19-teens. And we're now dealing with the great-grandchildren, so to speak, of those insurance arrangements.
So these insurance, an insurance today, company, okay, though, spreads the risk, doesn't it?
I'm sorry?
An insurance company, I would think, would have to spread the risk among various insured people. And how can one company have its own insurance company?
Well, when you get it down to the granular level, there is the spreading of risk and the shifting of risk. I'm not sure we can do this in a radio interview.
Okay.
But certainly, if you look at the beginnings of the program, the insurance company would be done for 30 or 50 farmers.
Okay.
In Montana, where a fire at one person's farm wouldn't necessarily affect the other, or it would be 50 or 100 grain storage facilities in the state of Iowa.
Okay, so then that is certainly spreading the risk.
Exactly, exactly. And these were risks that otherwise were not being addressed by the conventional insurance companies back in the 19-teens and the 1920s. And over a period of decades, obviously the provisional evolved to other people that were manufacturing products. Like, for instance, we did one. We did a captive insurance arrangement with a person that was building components for the space shuttle. So you can imagine when you're filling out an application and you write down who your customers are and where the products are used, and you say it's being used on the space shuttle. It happened to be not a safety critical component, but on the space shuttle. The conventional insurance companies did not get very excited about insuring that arrangement. Or you have someone that's building a widget. Maybe it's 1 foot by 1 foot, but it's a component that's being used on an offshore oil rig. And that component that may be costing $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000, it's a metal component machined in a very complex way. It's sitting below the floor of the ocean, maybe 20,000 feet below the water level. The conventional markets don't deal with those products very well.
So you have to actually, you form your own insurance company that is a boutique.
Exactly.
Specific to that industry. That is fascinating. And you have a boutique tax firm, isn't that correct?
We do. Our tax firm is now in its 23rd year, addresses the issues related to owners of highly profitable, closely held businesses. That is correct.
Very, very interesting. Now, your captive insurance planning, you market that through your company Capstone, correct?
That's correct. We're in our 16th year of doing that.
Cleet, you're on the line. You're the Vice President of Marketing and Business Development for Capstone.
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about how you go about finding your clients and some of the things that you've recently done.
Well, many of our clients come from referrals, typically from institutions. So we work with large banks across the United States. Any type of professional advisor to an owner or an operator of a closely held business. Because we have a national footprint, because we are experts in this niche, we typically get referrals from banks and brokerage firms across the nation that many of your audience would recognize very clearly.
Well, I think that's a fascinating business. Now, you're based in Houston, Texas, but you operate pretty much all over the country.
Yes, sir.
That's correct.
Well, very, very good. In fact, I happen to know that I'm speaking to Stuart right now on vacation in Vail. I envy you. Are you skiing?
I'm not skiing. I am a skier, though. I decided to come up here for my 60th birthday.
Well, God bless you. That's wonderful.
As Houston is in the winter time, in the summer, sometimes it gets a little warm. So,
well, don't break your tuchus on the slopes.
In order.
This has been great. I can't thank you fellas enough for coming on the show. Again, we're speaking to Stuart Feldman, an attorney, and the, I guess, the brains behind all of this. And we're speaking to Cleet Thompson, who's Vice President of Marketing for Capstone. This has been great.
We've
I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Great, and thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
Anyone that wants any further information can simply go to our website.
Can tell us what that website is, please. Would you repeat that?
Yeah, it's www.capstoneassociated.com.
All right, capstoneassociated.com. Thank you again for coming on the show.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years experience, we have the proven solution to your problem. A way to dispose of that upside down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to realtycrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's realtycrisis.com, realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying, we're here to help you. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
To me, when my hands are tied. and time so you can get on with your life. I've got to be cruel to be kind. I got the Chicago, all my love I'll be sending, and you will never know, cause there can be no happy end.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Jason Dowd, filling in for Stuart Venner, and today I'm talking with Jeff Timmons, formerly with 98 Degrees. He's here to talk about his new career, about his career, and his brand new venture, Men of the Strip, which is going to be a huge outcome for Jeff. I just know it. So let's talk. So welcome, Jeff, to the show.
Thank you, man. Thanks, Jason, for the great introduction. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Well, let's start with the Men of the Strip, because this really kind of intrigued me when I saw it. What is it about, and where did the concept derive from?
Well, look, a couple of years ago, I was fortunate enough to host the Chippendale Show, and originally, when I had been approached to do that, I thought, no, I'm not going to be a stripper, but then I went and saw the show, and it was a very well-produced, very professional show, in a $10 million theater, and I went and hosted the show. I didn't strip. I danced and sang 98 Degrees songs and my own songs, hosted the show along, and it was a very big success. And, obviously, the Chippendales rotate celebrity guests in and out, and I saw what the potential was for a brand like that. And then with the onset of the movie Magic Mike, all of a sudden this male review genre was kind of forced to the forefront and to the mainstream. And I thought, well, now would be a good time for me to start my own. So I got together with a guy named Glenn Douglas Packard, who's, you might know him from the show Hogan's Knows Best. It was Brooke's best friend. But he's also known, he's world-renowned as a very famous choreographer that's choreographed Michael Jackson, Enrique Iglesias, everybody down the line. And we got together and created this new male review called Men of the Strip. Young guys, cool guys, great personalities, we're going to take it to the road here pretty soon, hopefully do a docu-series on it. We're talking to a couple of networks right now, and then after that, we're going to land it here in Vegas.
Now, you say it's a Chippendale-style show. What can people expect when they see it from you and the other seven performers that are part of the lineup?
Well, this is going to be a little bit different than the Chippendales, and it's going to have younger with regards to the music. We're going to add circ elements to it. It's going to be you know, just a more modernized, more well-produced. I mean, the Chip and Dale show is very well-produced, but we're going to add certain bells and whistles that people won't expect. You know, the guys dance, they sing. You know, they do all kinds of other things, and it's very interactive. Of course, they take their shirts off and show their muscles and all that good stuff as well for the ladies.
Now, where can people see the show or hear about the show or find the show if they're interested in seeing it?
Well, right now, we're kind of in talks with not only the networks but casinos. So we're only in the preliminary stages of it, but, you know, I just got off of a huge tour with 98 Degrees and Boyz II Men and New Kids, so we're just hitting the pavement right now. We're going to go on a 26-city tour. And, you know, all over the country, introducing these guys in really small venues just so girls and guys get to know them. And then we'll probably figure out where we're going to end up performing by the beginning, probably by the end of May.
Now, I read that you have also been taking your shirt off on stage even when you're performing musically. How does this come off with the ladies, and what does it bring that subtle sex appeal that people are looking for in these performances without going over the edge, kind of like with what, like, Miley Cyrus just pulled off?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I did tear my shirt off at one point when I did the Chip and Dale's as part of, like, a little gimmicky part, because that's what all the guys do when they go guest host. But, you know, 98 Degrees was known as, like, the muscular, you know, jockey kind of boy band, and we were always... Well, you know, we never intended it to be that way, but the labels were always saying, take your shirts off for this photo or do this, and we just realized that, you know, girls love that. You know, it's just natural, it's sex appeal, and, you know, it's something that, you know, definitely adds an extra element to the show. You know, when I didn't take my shirt off last tour, but look, Donnie Wahlberg would rip his shirt off with the New Kids, and Jordan did, and the crowd would just go crazy. So, you know, it adds a certain little excitement to the audience. And, you know, girls expect it, they anticipate it, and then when it happens, the place goes crazy. Sometimes they go more crazy for that than for their favorite song. So it's just a little sexy element that we add to it.
Now, obviously the show is going to be amazing for women, I mean, just of all ages. What kind of entertainment does it give for the men?
You know, look, I mean, first of all, you know, what's funny about 98 Degrees is 98 Degrees is considered a boy band, although we started off as a vocal group. We got put together ourselves, we sang a cappella, we got signed singing a cappella, and, you know, you'd be surprised to go into these different markets and guys would be like, oh, I don't know, man, I'm not supposed to say this, but I bought all your CDs. Well, you know, just because we're guys doesn't mean you can't enjoy another group's music. Like, I idolized Boyz II Men and got to tour with them. And, you know, the first thing I told them was, I adore you guys. I love your music. I think you're the best ever. You know, it's just, there are certain stigmas and, you know, stereotypes that guys have in their mind that they can't enjoy a show like this. You know, look, guys, Magic Mike made millions and millions of dollars. And it wasn't just all girls that went to see it. Guys went to see it, too. I enjoyed the movie. It was entertaining. You know, look, the guys dance, they sing. You know, it's just an entertaining... what's really entertaining for the guys is the girls, how crazy they go. You know, if I were a guy back in the day, you know, and I didn't have these preconceived ideas about something like the Chip and Dale's or one of these other male reviews, I would have been in there in the audience, because there are barely any guys in the audience and all a bunch of crazy, drunk women. So it's the best place to find girls. So, you know, there's definitely a few little elements to it that would be appealing for guys and advantageous for guys, I should say, to go see this show.
That's a good tip. Never even thought of it like that, but that is a great tip. Now, let's talk a little bit about 98 Degrees. Really, what brought you into the entertainment industry, and how did you get associated with 98 Degrees?
Well, I started a similar group like 98 Degrees. It was just a four-part harmony bass group, and it was inspired by Boyz II Men, and I did it in college at a party. You know, some girls, it's very, you know, kind of shallow, but I was a college guy, and there were a bunch of girls that wanted us to sing, and I had some guys I had gone to school with, and we went in the bathroom and parted out a four-part harmony version of My Girl really quick, and we went out and sang it for them, and it sounded great, surprisingly, and the girls went crazy, and then, you know, I was almost ready to graduate. I was like, you know what, I think I might have something here. Let's start this group, let's really take it seriously, let's go to L.A., let's try to get discovered. And we're going to be like Boyz II Men and All For One and Jodeci and all that. So we drove across country and we went to L.A. and we came close to getting signed. And then my three other friends, they got cold feet and went back to Ohio, where I'm from. and quit the group, and then I started the group again, and I was fortunate enough to be put in touch with Nick, and who's a brilliant singer, and then he brought Justin out, and then eventually the guy that introduced me to Nick quit, and then Drew came out, and then that was 98 Degrees.
Wow. Now, did you ever see yourself as a musician, like even growing up, you know, as a kid, you know, playing with a microphone or using a wooden spoon to sing with, or were you like that, or did it just kind of find you as you got older?
Well, I come from a really small town in Ohio called Maslin, and it's world-renowned as a football town. So my whole thing was about playing football. Most guys that are from there, it's all about football. And, you know, although I played sports and played football, my focus was playing football, I always was doing musicals, I was doing theater, I was doing plays, you know, and so, you know, just on the side, it was something I liked to do, but I never really took it seriously. So I've always been an entertainer, so to speak. But I never really planned on doing it for a living like this. You know, it was not something that I thought I'd be doing. I never visualized it like that. I wanted to play pro football and be on, you know, the Dallas Cowboys. But unfortunately, I'm too small, too slow, and not good enough. So I had to resort to being a singer.
Now, I know for every artist out there, just to see their work out there is like the epitome of their dream. What did it feel like the first time you had a big hit, and what went through your mind the first time you heard your music on the radio?
Well, we got signed in 95, and then we put out our first record in 97. Late 95, we put out our first record in 97. So we had lived together, struggled together for a couple of years in New York and in L.A., and we were signed to Motown, and, you know, Motown was a predominantly urban label. They didn't know what to do with a group like us, so we kind of got shuffled around a little bit with regards to our genre and how we were going to sing and, you know, what type of music we were going to do. But we always kind of stayed true to ourselves, and we actually recorded this great song, Invisible Man, and we knew it was going to be a hit. And I remember us, you know, we were going to L.A. to do some promo for something, and we heard it for the first time on this big station in Los Angeles called Kiss FM. And so we were pulling up to a hotel, and it came on the radio, and it was probably one of the best feelings I've ever had in my life. I've had a lot of good ones, but that was probably one of the top ones.
Now, I know you still tour with 98 Degrees. What else have you been doing with your music career since the band started and continuing on to this day?
Well, I put like a little experimental out in 2003 called Whisper That Way. It was like more of an adult contemporary album. I think, you know, it was a lot of slow songs and things of that nature. And, you know, I was just trying to kind of get my grasp of what it's like to be in the studio, because I produce music. I spend a lot of time in the studio. I create, I write, I compose all the music and tracks and all that. And so that album was kind of an experiment for me. And it did moderately all right. It had like an AC hit, but it wasn't by any stretch of the imagination as successful as anything that 98 Degrees has done. But in the meantime, I've just been producing other people and just writing, doing soundtrack stuff, and, you know, just always in the studio.
Well, that's fantastic to hear, and I'd like to be able to get your name out there so people can maybe find you on the internet or anything like that to check out the new show that you have come out, and of course your music. So give people any which way that they can find your music or your show.
The best place to hit me up is on Twitter, and it's at Jeff Timmons, same as in Instagram, and Men of the Strip is at Men of the Strip, menofthestrip.com, and jefftimmons.com. And I really appreciate you giving me the plug and put me on today, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, buyyourtimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME. Stay tuned for our weekly segment with Jason Dowd, presenting his Holly Weird Report.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Welcome to another edition of the Dowd Holly Weird Report and strange news from around the world. This week we are packed full of stupidity that will keep you scratching your head for sure. First, let's start with some stupid criminals and dumb news from around the world. Dateline, Toledo, Ohio. At 6:35 in the morning, a woman named Melody Duchesne drives to a local McDonald's drive-thru window and innocently orders some chicken McNuggets. When she ordered the McNuggets, they informed the woman that they would not serve chicken nuggets before 11 a.m. Well, like a bull, the woman saw red. How dare they not serve chicken nuggets when she wants them? She proceeds to the window and demands the chicken nuggets. The window attendant said that she could not serve her the chicken nuggets, so the woman did what any other rational person would do. She gave the woman a Mick beatdown dipped with a side of Mick rage. The manager tried to intervene when she too became a victim of the woman's rage over the inability to get some chicken McNuggets. The manager closed the drive-thru window for her protection, but the woman decided to go commando and punch through the glass. In the end, the woman is arrested on 2 counts of assault, property damage, and God knows what else. All for a dumb McNugget. A meal that would cost her $5 tops. Now, the total cost is probably in the range of a few $1,000s in hospital bills. I hope that golden nugget was worth it. And not for nothing, but what part of the chicken do these nuggets come from anyways? Think about that when you're sitting in jail hoping you don't become some inmate's tasty Big Mac. Now for Hollywood. We all saw the monstrosity that took place in the VMA Music Awards with Miley Cyrus and Robin Thicke. It went viral faster than the plague. Hannah Montana is dead, and Cyrus is making sure of it. The tweaking she performed on the obscene rubbing and kissing with Thicke made her the newest train wreck to hit Hollywood. But really, did you expect that it would take this long? I mean, Cyrus has disappointed so many people, including the parents who bought those Hannah Montana merchandise for their daughters, saying that everyone should be like her. Heck, even Willow Smith had her jaw to the ground. However, Miley doesn't care. She's proud of what she did. She said in a new interview, she admits that she's a workaholic and she's all about the music, which is in her eyes. It isn't always a good thing. I have so many effing issues, she says. She allegedly tells Sunday People. I am so effed up that everyone does dumb stuff when they're all messed up. I don't have a normal life, Cyrus says. I take a hiatus every now and then, but I'm not good at that. Well, we should have seen this coming after all. She shaved her head in that controversial manner. She now enjoys the spotlight with Lohan, Spears, Bynes, and a few others that got caught in the spotlight for the wrong reason. Parents, here's my word of advice. These people are not role models. We should never encourage these people to be role models to our children. Instead, we need to be their role models. We need to encourage them to be the best and let them want to be like you when they grow up. Popularity destroys people, especially if the popularity grows fast when they're still young. We must prepare ourselves to have that sudden letdown and have to explain to our children. I'm sure that all the strip clubs here in Tampa will be pining to be with her for her to come work for them. I mean, she showed she's a natural on stage, and of course, she would definitely draw a crowd. That's this week's Holly Weird Report and strange news from around the world. Remember, create your star of fame, not your star of shame, because I have no problem exploiting it. That's all, folks.
I let myself. Aren't you ashamed?